This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. It's 7:33. West Virginia's Department of Health and Human Resources has been working for months to organize the state's federal state-partnered health insurance exchange. Likened to the travel website Expedia, the exchange will allow consumers to go online, compare plans from private insurance providers, and choose the one that's best for them. But the site will also determine your eligibility for coverage on state programs like Medicaid. Ashton Mara has more about the enrollment period that begins today.
For the state of West Virginia, the passage of the Federal Affordable Care Act meant new requirements, like establishing a healthcare exchange. But for consumers, Assistant Secretary for the State Department of Health and Human Resources, Jeremiah Sample, says the ACA means options. Options for insurance coverage, providers, the amount you pay for services. Those options, however, aren't as abundant here as in many other states. As West Virginians begin to navigate the healthcare exchange, looking for insurance to cover themselves and their families, the plans they have to choose from will all come from one provider, Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Private insurance companies made the decision to not proceed with offering coverage on the exchange, and there's a number of reasons for that. Our market is not very large, so it's not as attractive to many insurance companies. And there's also challenges to the paradigm shift from the health insurance laws. That exposes insurance companies to risks that they've never had to deal with before. And so there are a lot of challenges there that many insurance companies felt that they just were not in a position to proceed.
Sample says even though there is only one private insurance provider, Blue Cross Blue Shield will still provide a variety of plan options at different cost levels. But some West Virginians will take a different path to coverage. Samples estimates more than 130,000 West Virginians will find through the exchange they are eligible for Medicaid. The DHHR sent out eligibility letters to more than 118,000 of those West Virginians to allow them to enroll by simply checking a box to agree to the program and then mailing the form back to the state.
We already have about 45,000 folks that have sent those letters in, and that's 45,000 people that didn't have insurance before, 45,000 people that will not be coming into the county office, bogging down the systems, using our resources. It'll also be the most streamlined process by which that consumer can go through to have their eligibility determined.
Those individuals became eligible for coverage when Governor Tomlin announced Medicaid's expansion in May, covering individuals earning between 17 and 138% of the federal poverty level. Many of those are SNAP, more commonly known as food stamp participants, and parents whose children were already covered through the state. But if you're still not sure where you fall, whether you're eligible for Medicaid or want to find an insurance plan to fit your budget, Sample says the process starts online at healthcare.gov with a phone call to the federal call center, through a private insurance agent, or at your local DHHR county office.
Each DHHR office will have an in-person assister embedded into it. An in-person assister will be trained on how to provide consumers information about private health insurance. So for example, if a consumer wants to know, what is a copay? What is co-insurance? What is a deductible? What do these terms mean to me? Then that in-person assister will be able to provide them with some support as they go through the exchange.
Open enrollment through the healthcare exchange begins today and ends March 31st. Health insurance bought through the exchange goes into effect January 1st. Again, the website to enroll is www.healthcare.gov. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
It was ideological differences in the federal health care overhaul that led to a shutdown of the U.S. government. In a statement, First District Congressman David McKinley said, tonight the Senate tabled a House amendment that would have required members of Congress, congressional staff, and political appointees to enroll in the Obamacare exchanges without the special subsidy for coverage. The House amendment would have ensured that members of Congress and the White House will have to live by the same health care laws the American people. Either Obamacare is good for everyone or no one. It's time for the sweetheart deals for the politically privileged to end. In her statement, 3rd District Congresswoman Shelley Moore Capito said, "On Monday, I voted for a continuing resolution that would have averted a government shutdown while at the same time ending the special health insurance subsidy provided to members of Congress and providing individual Americans with the same delay that President Obama provided to businesses." For more about this disagreement, Renata Poor, the health policy director with West Virginians for Affordable Healthcare, joins us in the studio this morning. Good morning and thank you. What are McKinley and Capito talking about here?
Well, they are making a very silly and false argument saying that members of Congress and their staff are getting special treatment, whereas members of Congress and their staff are employees of a large employer, the Congress, just like most Americans are employees of a large employer, and they get a subsidy through their employer for their health insurance coverage. So Congress is already playing by the same rules as most Americans.
All right. If you don't have health insurance, if you don't buy health insurance under this plan, you will pay a penalty. Now, why is that penalty necessary? This is a free country. If you don't want to have health insurance, you don't have to have health insurance. Why the penalty?
The Affordable Care Act fundamentally changes the way we have purchased insurance in the last decade or so. And that is that everybody is entitled to buy insurance. And if you have a health condition, you can buy it at the same rate as a healthy person. Now, if you are going to have a provision that everybody is entitled to insurance, you've got to make sure that everybody enrolls, because you cannot make a market work if only sick people enroll in the insurance coverage and healthy people stay out until they get sick and then they enroll. You can see that that would cause the market to collapse fairly quickly.
This is the individual mandate.
This is the individual mandate.
Let's move ahead 1 year and think about next year at this time, when we're talking about the one-year anniversary of the implementation of Obamacare, because that word's not going to go away. What do you hope a year from now looks like?
We have 250,000 uninsured people in West Virginia, Beth, and I would hope by next year at this time, most of them would have health insurance coverage through Medicaid or through the private health insurance marketplace. And if not 100%, then at least 80 or 90% would be covered.
Mm-hmm. What's the worst case scenario? What gives you nightmares?
I worry that some people may feel that the cost of a policy in the health insurance exchange may still be too expensive for them. I have not seen all the prices yet. The market just opened this morning, and it's very early, and I haven't really had a chance to check it out. So,
mm-hmm. All right. The West Virginians for Affordable Healthcare planning events today around the state. Can you tell us what they're about?
We're scheduling press conferences around the state to alert the public that today is the first day of open enrollment. It is truly a historic change. And we just want to let people know about that.
And you've been promoting the Affordable Care Act for a long time now.
Yes, I have. I've worked on this for about 30 years.
All right. Renata Poor with West Virginians for Affordable Healthcare, Health Policy Director. We thank you very much.
Thank you, Beth.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:42. Some patchy fog this morning, becoming partly cloudy today with temperatures in the upper 60s and 70s. Mostly clear overnight with fog forming after midnight. Overnight lows in the 50s. Dense fog in the morning, sunny skies on Wednesday. A little warmer with temperatures in the 70s to near 80 degrees tomorrow.
Support provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Visit WVDRS.org for employer services. And support for NPR comes from Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery, using a patient's DNA to customize cholesterol therapy at VanderbiltHealth.com.
Over the summer, West Virginia University got a new system of transmitting wireless internet up and running, Air.U. Named after the Advanced Internet Regions Consortium, is the name of the system that's using vacated television spectrums to broadcast the internet to students and the public. Glennis Board explains.
That's the sound of another public rapid transit, or PRT, car lurching forward, full of students and townies traveling across Morgantown to get to school or work. Most everyone has their nose in a smartphone or some other device as they wait for a ride across town. Now, while they wait, wireless internet rains invisibly down around them, giving them free access to the wide reaches of the World Wide Web in all its splendor. John Campbell, Associate Provost and Chief Information Officer at WVU, explains that a couple of years ago, the Federal Communication Commission made the decision to move to high-definition broadcasting.
So they vacated the old traditional spectrum that television was delivered. So you might recall a number of years ago, people were, you know, getting converter boxes that would allow them to receive the new signals and see television.
Campbell explains that the vacated white space then became available for other technologies, including mechanisms that essentially use it to broadcast broadband.
The technology itself, you know, essentially piggybacks on the old TV spectrum and can distribute Wi-Fi for up to about 5 miles. Okay. And so that makes a huge difference, particularly in a place like West Virginia, where you don't have broadband access in every location. You don't have to go very far beyond Morgantown to all of a sudden find that your only option for broadband is satellite. And the satellite can often be very expensive or not enough bandwidth to actually meet the needs of some of the current applications.
Campbell says the technology, broadcasting broadband via segments of white space, enables typical internet speeds. It's just that it reaches greater distances, currently about 5 miles.
So the way the technology works is on top of a building or on top of a tower, there's a piece of equipment that essentially converts the internet into the TV spectrum. And it will connect to another location. And today, it's another piece of equipment that will convert that signal back to your traditional internet bandwidth.
Right now, the receivers are atop of each of WVU's PRT stations. The public rapid transit system is a 73-car tram system that transports more than 15,000 riders daily between WVU's three campuses and other parts of Morgantown. Campbell says students and the public can already access the Wi-Fi within the stations. And then early this month, WVU will be receiving equipment to extend that service to the tram cars themselves, making free broadband part of the PRT experience.
And then we've been working with some people also in the area with the city and such about testing wireless access. So we're looking at providing wireless access to one of the local parks that students have a tendency to hang out, as well as a couple of city vehicles where they need connectivity for different reasons.
Campbell says it's a little early to speculate where and how far they'll be able to push this new technology, but there have been discussions about broadcasting Wi-Fi access in Morgantown's downtown business district, as well as to areas in the city of Kaiser through Potomac State University. He says there have also been discussions with University Extension Service offices to explore if this technology might be a viable avenue to deliver content to more remote homes throughout the state. While WVU is the first university in the U.S. to use vacant broadcast TV channels to provide the campus and nearby areas with wireless broadband internet services, Campbell says there are also pilot projects in a few towns and municipalities on the East Coast. He says access to equipment is really one of the main limiting factors.
So until the manufacturers start moving it from limited production to normal production, I think it'll be fairly slow. But it's gaining some speed. There's a lot of rural areas in the United States just dying for broadband. And so this opens up a whole new set of possibilities.
Campbell says this could be one piece of the puzzle when it comes to providing internet to rural areas. As a land-grant university and the state's flagship school, he says WVU is committed to exploring new ways to serve the public and move the state forward to provide basic needs through new technology. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can listen to and read news stories on our website, wvpubcast.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ben Aduccio. Our director is Bob Powell. I'm Beth Voorhees.